Divination is one of my favorite parts of being a witch. So I have got to share with you guys this new Kickstarter campaign by Mystic Metals. The creator combines the art of reading tarot and the magic of astrology with coin divination. They have divination coin sets such as timing coins, tarot coins, celestial coins, and so much more. The best part is you can mix and match them into your own custom coin casting set. She's also created these stunning casting mats and a whole range of tins and bags and boxes to store everything in. It is so beautifully done. Pledges start at $20, but you have to hurry as this campaign is closing Sunday, March 24th, 2024 at 12 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. The link to the Kickstarter is in the description box for this episode, and you're going to want to run, not walk, to snap some up for yourself. Welcome to Witch Talks, the series for spiritual seekers, witches, and enlightened souls. I'm Hannah the Suburban Witch, professional tarot reader, astrologer, and witch, and I hope you're ready to get up close and personal with your favorite witches. Hello, beautiful. I am so glad you're here to join me today, and I hope your day has been a little bit magical so far. Today, I am very excited to bring you another of one of your favorite episodes, which is Hannah, help me. Now, today's question comes in from Chantel, who is one of my lovely society members. And Chantel asks this, Hannah, help me. With your ADHD, how the hell do you meditate? Or when you do reach an altered state, do you find yourself narrating the experience as if you were trying to remember to journal it later, or like having conversation with someone else? The constant internal monologue is, and then there are four little mind-blown emojis from Chantel. I absolutely love this question. And Chantel, you are not the only person to ask me this. It has been a frequent question over the many years. So get ready, buckle your seatbelts, because I am about to give you a very long, multi-pronged response with lots of wisdom within there. Have you got your notebook? So firstly, when we're talking about meditation, it is one of the foundational skills that I teach as being required for anyone who is undertaking psychic work or to an extent witchcraft as well. But it is a skill, which means you need to work and practice at it in order to do it effectively. Generally, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. Now, I'll just add in here that there are other reasons people choose to meditate. It's great for stress reduction. It can help with anxiety. It can promote emotional health. It can enhance your self-awareness. For those of you with ADHD like myself, it can lengthen your attention span. Can. Doesn't mean it's going to cure your ADHD. Trust me. It may reduce age-related memory loss. That's a possibility. And look, there's a little list of all like the benefits over on healthline.com, and they're like, can generate kindness. I don't know about that one. I don't know if I can say that meditation helps make people kind. I think empathy helps with that, but I digress. But personally, I use it for many, many reasons. Meditation helps me to connect with my spirit guides, my deities, communicate with spirit, perform psychic surgery, astrally project, and it strengthens my psychic abilities too. Meditating alters your brainwaves from beta, which is probably what you're in right now as you're listening to this, and it puts you into the alpha or the theta state. Meditation Australia says that theta waves are often associated with deep states of meditation, peak spiritual experiences, and higher states of consciousness. So the theta state is what we want to get to. So let me just backtrack. Beta waves are characteristics of a strongly engaged mind. So you are listening, you're in an active conversation, you're debating, you're making a speech. That's all going to be using your beta brainwave state. Now, the next category under that is going to be alpha, and that is non-arousal. So it's slower. It's usually when you've completed a task and you sit down to rest. And alpha is usually what people drop into at first when they're meditating. Alpha brainwaves are the one that we go into when we're wandering around through the garden. So keep this in mind, because alpha brainwaves are what I think are the one we need to master first before we can even think about getting into theta brainwaves, okay? Alpha state is, as I said, that kind of vibe like you're walking through the garden. This is what I associate with something called active meditation. Don't worry, we will get into this a little bit more once I've finished telling you all about beautiful brainwaves that our brains can make. So once you, let's say you stop doing a task and you start daydreaming. Daydreaming is often where we find our theta brainwave state. When you're driving on a freeway and you just realize, oh my gosh, I can't remember where I've just turned. When did I turn? Did I miss the turn off? What have I been doing the last 20 minutes? You've been in theta brainwave state. It's the state of autopilot. The repetitious nature is what can bring it on. Again, we can get to this with active meditation. Now, one thing that they have found, so if you go and read, I'll link the article in the description box to scientificamerican.com, and it's an article on the various functions of brainwave states. You will read that most people get brilliant ideas when they're in the theta state. And this can be a problem when you're meditating if you've been told that meditating is clearing your mind, because suddenly you're getting ideas and that's not having a clear mind. Or is it? Is it that you've suddenly made space for these beautiful ideas? That's my point of view, but we will come back to that. So the last one is the delta brainwave, and that's when we're sleeping. So we're not trying to do that when we're meditating. That's kind of the opposite. We don't want to fall asleep. We want to stay awake. Now, there is another one here I'm going to touch on. It's not a brainwave state, but it is a state of consciousness, and this is called hypnagogia. Now, we go into the hypnagogic state. It's just before we fall asleep. There's another one, which is its opposite, called hypnopompia, which is the transitional state that occurs just before you wake up. I find in both of those states, you can also get amazing intuitive downloads, hits, psychic stuff coming through in those points of time. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about meditation. So as a witch, I find that being able to drop into theta and alpha brainwaves is not only physically beneficial, but can also be wondrous for manifesting, spell rituals, aspecting, and so much more. So maybe you have tried meditating before and thought that you've failed or given up because you have better things to do or you don't have the time. Whatever the reason, I'm going to share with you everything that I know to help make your meditation practice better and easier, and yes, even if you have ADHD. As you know, I have ADHD. I have diagnosed ADHD and I meditate. So my very, very, very first tip for you all is to start small. I suggest that all my students aim to meditate for 15 to 20 minutes. That's the aim. That's not the starting point. Okay, the starting point is 2 minutes, and then 5 minutes, and then 10 minutes, getting up to 15 to 20 minutes at a time. Now, the other thing I do not want, especially if you have ADHD, I do not want you to meditate daily. I don't think that's going to be helpful for you. I think that's going to become overwhelming, or it's going to feel like a demand. We don't want to be doing that. Instead, my vibe when it comes to meditation, once a week is good. Twice a week is great. 3 times a week is excellent. Whatever you can manage is what you can manage. Now, the second thing, as I've already referred to, is it is a myth that meditation needs to be done sitting down or lying still, especially when you are just beginning. When you are starting out or when you are running into obstacles where it feels like you can't meditate, that is when you will get more out of active meditation styles. So the way I define it, there are active meditation and inactive meditation types. Inactive is where you're sitting cross-legged on the floor with your hands on your knees and your eyes closed. The typical vision we see, a Buddhist monk sitting on top of a hill, you know? Or it's when you're lying down at the end of your yoga class in corpse pose, which is also Shavasana. That's inactive. Think of that as graduation level. We're not there yet. In contrast, active meditation styles are things like coloring in, painting, gardening, running, swimming, walking, pottery, anything where your body is moving and your brain is free to float. This will help you to achieve the brain states required and train your brain. Let me tell you a little story here. Way back when, I used to meditate, well, try to meditate. I think at that point I was maybe doing it once a week. And like Chantel, I would sit there and struggle through every meditation session, but I just figured if I kept at it, one day it would click. And I probably did that for about 2 years. I was frequently going to yoga. I was doing all the right things. I thought I was quiet. And usually, yes, my brain was narrating something or, as Chantel mentioned, trying to remember everything somehow. I generally had more luck with a guided meditation, but still, it's just like, I just thought I was bad at meditation. That is, until I gave birth to my daughter and went through really rotten postnatal depression and anxiety. Shit's about to get real here, guys. So I had a pretty rough time. Pretty rough. It was one of the roughest times of my life. And I, at the time, reached out to my paternal health nurse, which is basically, if you don't know, a nurse for babies. Here in Australia, they're free. You see them a certain amount of times at certain milestones, etc., to make sure development is okay. And I said, I am struggling because my daughter won't sleep and my husband's away and I can't cope. I also had, at that point, undiagnosed ADHD and autism. So I was overwhelmed, would be an understatement, but it came through as depression and anxiety at the time. So anyway, she realized she was out of her depth and she passed me on to her enhanced maternal health nurse. Now, if you are in Australia and you are listening to this and you have a baby or you are about to have a baby or you think you might have a baby at one point, I had no freaking clue what an enhanced maternal health nurse was. And this is just a side note because I think we all need to know about it. I don't know if it's available in all states. I don't know. But I do know they were free. She would come out. She did a little like sleep consultancy type of thing with me and my daughter. But she mainly focused on me and she realized pretty quickly that I was really struggling and I was not in a safe space personally. So she put everything she could in place to get me some help. And one of the things she did was she set me up with art therapy classes. Now these art therapy classes were a weekly class for, I think, 8 to 10 weeks. I can't recall. It's a little fuzzy at that point in time. But basically, I would go along and there would be a bunch of maternal health nurses there. So the enhanced maternal health nurses, they're basically like the step up for mums who are struggling. And so all us struggling mums would turn up with our babies and we'd sing a song with them. We'd have a little bit of fun and then we'd leave them with the nurses in that room and we'd just go into the next room. So we were right there. We were very close. And we would do an art therapy session with a licensed counselor. No, she was a licensed psychologist. And this has a point, I promise. This was wonderful for everything that we were going through, right? It really, really was. But it also ignited in me a little bit of a remembrance that I do enjoy creative things. When was the last time I'd done anything creative or anything just for me? And so I went back into this like art journey. And as you guys know, I am a painter. I'm a watercolor artist. I do sell some of my watercolor paintings on Society 6. You can always DM me if you want to check out the link. There's just a couple up there. There are a few little watercolor Australian animals. And what I ended up doing was after that class, I went home and I decided, you know what? I think I just need to do one thing for me every day. At this point, this was not a spiritual thing at all. This was just, I need something I can do for myself, especially having my husband away for about 4 months at that time. I was alone in a big old 100-year-old house. I had to chop wood and have a fire going with a newborn. It was not fun. And so when she was napping and I was, you know, alone in this big old house, I'd sit down and I'd do a painting. And sometimes it took 10 minutes. Sometimes it took 2 hours. I didn't really care. I just picked a reference photo that I liked and painted my interpretation of that animal. And I did this every single day for about a year. That's a lot. Now, this might not be your vibe or thing, but trust me, there is a point to this. I didn't realize at the time because I'd sort of put my meditation on hold because my mental health wasn't doing great. And whilst meditation can help you with mental health, at some stages, it can also make it worse. So please be wary of that. What I didn't realize I was doing was active meditation. I did recognize that by painting, my brain stopped for a bit. I was able to focus on this one task and that was it. And sometimes it would wander and sometimes it would do other things, but a lot of the time it was like, is this color right? Is this the right, do I mix it up with here? How does that look? That was kind of what was going in my head and that was it, right? And then one day I thought, oh, you know what, I really should do a meditation again. And I sat down and I meditated and it was the easiest meditation I'd ever done. It was like something finally clicked. What had actually happened was I had been training my brain in those states. So suddenly, even without the painting aspect there, I was able to drop into it much easier. My brain went, I know what we're doing here. Okay. At the same time as doing all of my painting, I also started doing pottery lessons with my grandmother. So we would go and we'd sit at the pottery wheel and we'd do pottering, which I found A, incredibly grounding, especially because your hands are getting covered in mud and dirt, but B, it was an active meditation. And at this point, I started recognizing and putting two and two together. Now, if you've been listening to me for a little while, you might know in human design, I'm a 1-3, which is basically number one is about knowledge and needing all of the knowledge in the universe. And number three is about experience and using all of that experience to help people, you know, with knowledge. So this is one of those things. And I think I go through stuff like this, not that this is the reason I go through hard stuff, but I think I go through things and I figure things out almost the hard way because it makes it really easy for me to understand the concept and then to teach the concept. So what I want you to do if you are struggling with meditation and you can't figure out how to do it, firstly, you find your active meditation form first. Throw away the inactive form. Don't worry about it. Focus on active. So what you're going to do is you're going to go for a walk in the garden without your phone, without earphones or anything. Just go for a walk in the garden or gardening where you're, you know, weeding. Weeding is a wonderful form of active meditation. Or you're going to paint something or draw something or color something in. Knitting, yes, absolutely. Another one, as long as you're not knitting whilst watching TV. That kind of negates the thing, right? Because if you're watching TV, you're too engaged. You don't want to have too much of an engagement. Remember, that would be the beta brain state. Something you can do on autopilot. I don't actually class driving as this, even though you can drop into that theta brainwave state. I don't think it's quite the same because you are, there's an element of you that is still always on, just in case, you know? So swimming, running, coloring, painting, embroidery, I don't know, pick your poison. But I would suggest if you can do that thing daily, even if it's 5 minutes, do it daily for a couple of weeks, maybe just a whole month before you go and try your inactive form of meditation again. On the topic of this, I also think it's really good practice to set a timer for your meditation because you can 100% lose track whether you're doing active or inactive meditation. You can absolutely lose track of time. I have a feeling that is open. Oh my gosh, you're kidding me. Had the window open for how long? That's so much quieter. I'm so silly. So I think another underrated thing is to set a timer. Because at least for me, and especially with ADHD, when meditating, I lose track of time. And it doesn't matter if I'm doing the active or the inactive form of meditation, I will lose track of time. Has it been 2 minutes or 1 hour? I don't fucking know. Who knows? So again, start at 5 minutes and you're going to work your way up from there. Now, the other option here is to choose a guided meditation or a piece of music that goes for a specific length of time. Two things to say on this. I think starting with your active meditation is going to be the best thing for you at first. Then progress to a guided meditation. Guided meditations are wonderful, especially if you are doing the thing where you're narrating what you're doing in your meditation or you're trying to remember it to write it down. When you do a guided meditation, it takes that aspect out of it, right? You're just following along with what they say. And the other thing is you can do that guided meditation over and over again. You don't have to do a different one every time. In fact, I think repeating the same one over and over is a really useful way to set your brain up, set your mind up, and your brain knows what to expect. And then if you have, you know, something come in that's a little bit extra outside of that, like a bit of intuitive information, maybe a spirit guide says something or an ancestor comes in, then you're going to not be worried about remembering all the other stuff and you can just focus on the new thing. Once you're happy with that guided meditation experience, then start bringing in maybe just the piece of music one before at the very end and you've mastered all of those, then going for no music, nothing at all, because that's like the hardest one for real. And another tip that I have here is repetition. Once you have your spot, stick with it. Repeat, repeat, repeat. This is not so much about habit forming, but training our brain again, right? So I like to pick a spot that I meditate, one specific chair or one place that you lie down, and you always do it in that same place. Again, just like when my butt hits my chair at my desk, I know I'm in work mode, right? Just like when my butt hits the couch and my body goes, oh, we're in relax mode. Your body and your brain understand these places in time and space. So use that to your advantage to train yourself to get into your meditation quicker. You will drop into those brainwave states faster and easier if you do that. Same with active meditation. If you're actively meditating, such as coloring in, aim to always use the same book or the same pens and sit in the same place when you're doing it. When I was doing my painting, it was always at the kitchen table and was always sitting in a specific chair. I had a ritual around it. Do not negate the benefits of ritual. On that same aspect, using a ritual oil. You're a witch. You're a witch. Use it to your advantage. Pick a ritual oil that you really like. Something with frankincense or myrrh or vetiver. They can be really, really grounding. Well, the vetiver will be grounding, but really great for helping you get into those states. Clary Sage as well. Not my favorite oil, mainly because I put it on for like 2 weeks trying to get myself into labor with Toby. And oh my God, now I can't stand it. But the whole time I was in labor. So now I'm like, oh no, thanks to think of that. But that one's really good for meditation if you want, not pregnancy safe, unless you're like actually trying to bring on labor, because I was, God, I had him at 42 weeks on the dot. Yeah, I did. That happened. So find an essential oil or an essential oil blend that you can put on your wrists or put in your diffuser to get your brain in the right mindset for what you want to do. Have a crystal that you hold in your hand as you do that. You can use this as well if you've got ADHD, almost like a fidget, right? You're allowed to roll a palm stone around and around in your hand as you're meditating. No one says you're not allowed to do that. That doing a repetitive motion helps you with your meditation. Now, a couple of extra tips before we wrap it up over here. So Chantel asks, when you do reach an altered state, do you find yourself narrating the experience as if trying to remember it? So if you find yourself doing this, are you actually writing it down afterwards? Because that is a good practice to get into. I do that frequently if things come in. So you can either do that, and that's okay to be narrating it, going, okay, this happened. I just saw this symbol. Great. Remember that. That's okay. That doesn't mean you're not meditating. That probably means you're meditating well. I think we need to remove ourselves from the idea that meditation is nothing in our brain, because that's not what meditation is. It's not nothing. It's an awareness of what's happening in our brain. So if you're sitting there going, okay, I'm meditating and this guided meditation has me meeting with one of my guides and they've turned around and they look like this. Now I don't need to remember that they look like this, and I'm going to focus on that they look like this, and the image might be fading, but I'm going to keep telling myself. And then you finish your meditation, you go and write it down. That's you've meditated. It's okay to do that. Like, the goal of meditation is not to remove your internal monologue. It is not to remove your internal monologue, especially if you're neurodivergent. That's impossible. Get out of here. We can't do that. Turn off our brain. Never. The goal is to give your brain some space from everyday stuff, to give it some space for stuff to come in, and to notice how your brain naturally does stuff, right? So when I'm teaching specifically about clairaudience, which is clear hearing, it's a psychic sense, when I teach that in my psychic divination course, which, by the way, guys, I'm planning on opening the doors in April, not at the start of April, because it would clash with the shield and spell class that I'll be promoting, and I don't want to promote like a gazillion things at you because I hate doing that. I really do. I'll be doing a shield and spell class, just FYI, which is a collaboration with Wendy Marta-Houseman. So I'm presenting a live class on using the tarot for protection, energy protection and insight. So if you're keen for that, keep an eye out. I'll let you guys know via email on my email list. That's in the first week of April. After that, I'm going to be opening the doors for my psychic divination course once more to new students. I only do this twice a year. It'll be open for a couple of weeks because last time I think I didn't have it open long enough. It felt really stressful. I don't like it feeling stressful. It's meant to be exciting, right? So I'm going to open the doors for new students to come in and it's going to be great. We're going to do some psychic development circles again. It's going to be awesome. But one of the things I teach in that course specifically when developing clairaudience is this is the one that's most crucial to be meditating in order to develop this sense. The reason being, when you get a clairaudient hit, yes, sometimes it's external and you can hear it with your physical ears, but majority of the time it is an internal voice in your own internal monologue voice, like your own voice. So how the hell are you going to know when it's an intuitive hit versus your own internal monologue and your normal thoughts if you're not aware of what your brain normally does? So sitting back, observing your thought patterns and making that something that you do once a week, twice a week, three times a week, that is when you're going to have more awareness around, let's say you pull a tarot card and you go, oh, I just heard the word watermelon. And you think, so this has to do with X, Y, and Z. And you go off that symbol, whatever that symbol means for you. I am looking at a mattress behind my desk that I use to try and block out the noise. And it has watermelons on it, if you're wondering where watermelon came from. So the point is, if you're doing any form of divination or psychic work and that intuitive thing drops in, you're going to be able to recognize and go, oh, that's not a normal thing my brain does. This one is out of the ordinary. This one is the intuition. That's how you start to distinguish. And that's why the meditation is important. It's not about stopping your internal monologue. It's not about not narrating the experience. You're allowed to narrate the experience. That's okay. That's normal. I want to add in here as well, because I feel like we have a little bit of a theme going on. Last week's episode was on low energy witchcraft, which I'm sure a lot of neurodivergent folks would have got a lot out of. By the way, thank you to everyone who messaged me about that episode. It made me really grateful that I chose to do it. It's been on my heart for a while to do an episode like that. And I hear you, a lot of you felt really validated. So thank you for letting me know. And then this week we have this one about meditating specifically with ADHD. And next week I have a guest, Erica, who has come on to chat about using the tarot as a tool for dealing with ADHD. So I think you're going to love it. Now, that original conversation with Erica actually goes for 2 hours. I'm not putting the full, 2.5 hours actually. I'm not putting the full thing out on the podcast because that's too long for you guys. I cut it down to like a minute. I cut it down to like an hour and maybe 15, 20 minutes, something like that. And I was just like, I can't cut anymore. It's too amazing. But if you want the full thing, because the full thing is amazing, you're going to want to sign up as a Suburban Witches Society member. Trust me, you get discounts to classes that I'm putting on. You get access to so many resources, my personal spells, mini readings with me on a video call every month. Like, there's so much good stuff in there. And uncut episodes of the podcast. It's amazing. So we have this little theme of like chronic illness and ADHD and just making our practices and our magical stuff work with us, work for us, and not become a hindrance. If you are finding that your meditation practice is stressful, don't do it. You don't have to. Like, you actually don't have to. You can just stop. That's okay. I won't tell anyone. So Chantel, thank you very much for sending in your question. If you have a question and you would like me to answer it here on the podcast, you can send it through to info@suburbanwitchery.com. Or send me a DM on our socials. You can find the Instagram that is specific for this podcast, which is @WitchTalksPodcast. Or just me on Instagram is Suburban_Witchery. As you know, next week we've got the tarot as an ADHD tool. We actually joke and say tarot as an oven mitt for ADHD. And Erica will describe why she says that. It's a really good episode. I'm really excited to bring it to you. And after that, oh my goodness, we only have 4 episodes left for this season. So there will be only 2 more Hannah Help Me episodes, 1 more interview episode, and 1 more just me teaching episode. The finale though, guys, I cannot tell you how excited I am. It's going to blow your socks off. I just want to drop it now and be like, here, look how amazing this is. But I also want it to be the finale. So I have to hold myself back. I'm doing this for you guys because I think it's going to be great. And after that, we're just going to have a little break with the podcast. I think until August or September. I have a trip to Europe booked for mid-August, early September. So I do want to prioritize that. And I do need a little break from doing so much on the episodes and things. So we shall see. There'll just be a little bit of a break. And then we will 100% be back for season 3 because I've already been booking guests for that. So we're good. We're coming back, I promise. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I hope it gave you a lot of food for thought. I've linked a blog post with my 4 mini tips for meditating, and I've linked the science article 1 as well in the description box for this episode. If it helped you, let me know. Share it with someone who you think it'll help. Get the word out. Tell a friend, and hopefully they tell a friend. The Witch Talks Pyramid Scheme. Get on it. And I will chat with you next week. See you then.